Hallelujah. As Christians, the life we live is a life of faith. The God we serve is a God of faith. Before he even created this world, it is faith. He believed that if he speaks, it will happen. And faith does not hang on only believing that if we speak, it will happen. But you must also know the power behind what will make it happen. And he knows he has that power to make it happen. Scriptures have said, for God so loved the world. And the way to show his love was to give. In fact, you cannot say your love and we don't see the action of the love in you. The Christian love is a giving love, not receiving love. If someone loves you, the external thing that you will be able to know the person loves you is what he does. If I come to your house every day to come and ask for food, anytime I come to ask something from you, would you take that to be that I love you, that's why I come to ask? But what about if I see your need and I help you every day, try to help you to become a better person? Would you see it as my love towards you? He said, for God so loved the world, for him to show us his love, he did not give us his rotten tomatoes. Sometimes people give things they don't like. It is just to dispose what he doesn't want to use. In fact, he wants a place to dispose so that there won't be too much things in your house. So you'll pack those things and go and dump it on something because you don't like it. And you have no place to keep it. But that is not how God dealt with us. He took his best. You know, giving your best is very painful. Giving your best, you look at the thing, you say, this is me too, I need it. Anytime you're giving and you don't feel it, you haven't given. You look at the thing, my only begotten son. If it's got five of them, six of them, and one is a very bad boy, causing trouble in the house, and you think if this guy leaves the house, there will be peace in the house. So he takes him and said, let me go and give this, my son, to pastor. Your pastor, I want to donate my son to you. And you know what you're donating. That donation is going to give pastor a hell. Because you don't want that hell in the house. That is not how God dealt with us. He took his best and he gave his only begotten son to the world. He saw the need of the world, that the world is struggling and is heading towards hell. And if I don't come in, the entire world will move into hell because Satan has taken control over the entire world. The way to rescue mankind is to bring my best. He gave his son. But giving his son to the world does not benefit everybody. The fact that you have para in your house, on top of your table, under your pillow, and you have headache, you can leave the para under your pillow with the headache until you take the medicine, put it inside you. Having the medicine itself doesn't cure you. Until you act on it, until you take it, having Jesus will not benefit you until you believe in him. This word of God, there are a lot of promises in them. But those promises need to be believed. Anyone that believed it, it is that person that enjoys the benefit of it. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you can be green, you can be yellow, you can be white, you can be black, you can be tall, you can be short, you can be educated, you can be uneducated, it doesn't matter. Anyone that believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't even talk about life. He's talking about everlasting life. That's on life, they're just brief. They're like painkiller. You take a painkiller. Sometimes the painkiller, it takes about some hours to subdue the pain. It doesn't take the pain away, but it just control it. And at that moment, you don't feel the pain. The moment it went away, the pain come back because you haven't dealt with the source. Our source is Christ. But you cannot take all this without faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Mark chapter 9 verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are to who? To him who believes. The Bible says that with men, there are some things that are not possible, but with God, all things are possible. In the natural realm for man, there are some things that are not possible. But when it comes to God, there's nothing that limits God from doing anything. Faith is the one that we use to bring the impossible things to possibility. And faith is not of the mind. It is of the heart. With the heart, man believes. With the mind, man think and analyze and imagine. With the body, man touches the natural world. With the mind, man is able to imagine, which is very good, is able to think about it, which is very good. But with your heart, that is where spiritual issues are. That is why when you come to Christ, we say, give your heart to Christ. That is why when you are praying, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Because that is the spiritual realm for man. It is when your heart is right, then the heart will then control the mind, and the mind will then control the body. As you listen to me, Jesus said, the word which I speak, they are what? Spirit and life. Words carry spirit. Have you ever heard somebody saying something to you and at the moment he finished, fear crippled you? Nothing has changed about your life, but you feel either sick, you feel confused, your wealth seems to have ended just with words. Sometimes you will be smiling, laughing. The word that comes hit you and you start crying. You see your whole emotions changing to fit into the word. You get to the hospital, the doctor opens your report and tells you something. Immediately, the one that looks fine and very happy and yesterday, everything changes. The words carries both spirit. You hear about salvation and you receive it, and something within you changes. You might not see a change physically in your body, but you find a change from within. Hope is put into your heart, and the one that seems to be confused in the world, now you are no longer afraid of anything. You know you have a Father, a God who is on your side. That's what I'm talking about. I encourage people to believe and to have faith. Because the God we deal with, faith doesn't mean that you have to ignore the physical. Oh, by faith, I will pass the exams. While others are studying, you are sleeping. You haven't opened any book, and you want to pass the exam. How many of you will go to a hospital and they want to do your heart, a heart surgery for you, and you'll find, they said, this man, he's gone through medical school, I've done this and that, and he's good, and he's very good, and he's learned, he passed every exam, and they said, this one, he went the business, but he didn't study anything, but by faith, he passed his exam and graduated. Would you put your body down for that Christian to cut? Will you? Why? You would rather prefer the unbeliever who have studied the thing and knows where to cut and know how to separate the nerves and all other things. Because before that Christian finished with you, by faith, you've gone to heaven. He will put you to heaven quick and fast. And none of you will do that. So they have their part. You know, some people were casting out demons. And Jesus' disciples says, these people, they are not part of us. And Jesus made a statement that it's the same thing we want to achieve. He came that he might give life. So if doctors also come to help bring and improve life, they are ministers of God in the physical realm. Because we have physical diseases that need physical attention. But it doesn't throw away your faith. It is your faith that makes the recovery great. I read a story about Hezekiah. He was dying. He was sick of a bone. It could be cancer. And God himself, the chief medical doctor, said, this disease is unto death. It's a terminal disease. So Hezekiah, write your will. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord. You see, when you hear thus says the Lord, you can't change it. Set your house in order or write your will. For you shall die and not live. If God has said it, is it debatable? But he knows God. He says, bring up your strong reason. God is also a judge. He weighs all sides and gives just judgment. The fact that he says you will die doesn't mean that you are dying. So he said, no. Even though, to my intent, if he had died, it would have been better. When he lived for the 15 years, the child he gave birth to became the most wicked king. So God understands. But whatever you like, God will give it to you. He turned. He turned and cried to God. Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you." He had walked before the Lord. In fact, this is the king I really respected. He came from a background, not from a very good background. The parents were wicked. He didn't know God. He was one of the wicked people. But God chose him, but he didn't follow the wickedness of his father. And he served God with all difficulties. That's why I don't think anybody should say, "Oh, because my father is a thief, so me too, I become a thief." No. He said, "God, I have walked before you in truth." Very loyal in his heart. And with a loyal heart. Have you seen the heart? The heart. With a loyal heart, when you are dealing with God, is the heart. The mind knows how to deceive. But the heart, when somebody lies to write deep from his heart, he becomes sincere. People don't deal with people from their heart now. They deal with people from their mind. He said, "I have served you with all my heart, and I've done what was good in your sight." So he brought his argument that, Lord, if somebody walks before you, like how Enoch walked before the Lord and he was not found because he lived that righteous life. So I have walked before you. So I know at least about Enoch. I know about this. People who had walked before you, Lord, you were able to save them and help them. So he brought his argument. "And have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He first prayed before weeping. Some of us weep before praying. Some of us try every other thing. After we've tried everything and it doesn't work, we go to God. We shouldn't make God the last thing. He should be the first. Look at what God did. "And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying," this is how God can quickly answer prayers. Sometimes people think that God, he's too slow. Hey, God is very quick and fast to answer. He spoke back to the same prophet, "Go back to that man and tell him, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father." I like that. "The God of David, your father." So he did not even refer him to his own by law, the one that gave birth to him, but the one whose heart is always after God. So he said, "The God of David, your father, I have heard your word, your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. And on the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord." When God heals you, go to church. "And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Sometimes you should have somebody God can look at. Every one of us must have somebody that somebody can look at. If you're marrying, get a husband that when there's any trouble, there is somebody, when he speaks in the person, in the man's life, he'll be cool. You have a, then you have a good husband. The own suru biano, shenye. You want to marry a wife, find somebody who is on F here that the woman can listen to. A wise person. A wise man or a wise woman who the woman can listen to. There are some people, they can give bad advice. A godly person that even if there's anything and the person comes, he said, Inkai kamen kwa, sana meye. But my shape papa yanim, my shape mami yanim, enti, babufono. So God looked at David. Then Isaiah said, take what? A lump of fix. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And then, after God had healed and spoken his word and healed him in the spiritual realm, they said, then take him to the hospital and let them put the medicine on it. It is then that the medicine works. So the fix are also very important to complete what God has said. Some of us, I said, the reason why when you are sick, you don't want to see a doctor is because you are afraid. Not because you are acting in faith. So brethren, we are to walk with God in faith. But faith doesn't mean that you shouldn't eat. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't say man shall not live by bread, but by bread alone. So you eat by bread, but there are better things and greater things that you have to go by. Faith makes things great. Luke chapter 7 verse 50 says that thy faith hath made you whole. Your faith, anytime Jesus meet people, he said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's read about the woman. What happened? You see, when you have a problem, we need, in the Bible, whatever miracle that happened, most of the time, Jesus needed the faith of the people to work the miracle. He always needs your faith to be able to do what he wants to do for you. The woman with the issue of blood pestered Jesus' life. Faith doesn't give up. Faith holds on. She knows that my last end is Jesus. And she determined from the house. Faith will only determine. He said, if only I am able to do what? To touch what? His garment. I will be healed. I'm determining how I'll be healed. I have faith in that man. I have heard that when people touch his garment, they get healed. So he might not have my attention. The armor bearers may drive me away. They won't let me get close to you. But this woman, you know, when you want to exercise faith, there are obstacles that you will meet. Faith doesn't give up. It doesn't see the obstacle. It sees the end result. It sees what it's looking for. So no matter what happened, he doesn't see it. He doesn't mean that doesn't face reality. The reality is there, but that is not what he's looking for. He's looking for something. He said, if I only touch, there are obstacles of her own strength. She has lost much blood and is feeling very weak, and a weak person is not the one who should go through a crowd to be able to touch Jesus. He said, my last strength, I am going to use it to touch this person. She decided to take a step of faith, and the woman started moving. And if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. He didn't say, I may be made well. It's not may. I shall. Shall is mandatory. So she determined her healing before she went to the church. But there were many adversaries, many enemies. Paul says, a great door has been opened unto me. But every great door that is opening, there are always adversaries. There are always enemies. Don't think that people hate you. Anytime you see people, a lot of people hating you, mean that you are big. You are great. People don't hate people who are nothing. They see something in you which you yourself don't see it. The reason why you are the object of hatred is because of what you carry. So, the trouble you are going through, you are understanding why you are going through it. The reason is that there's something great. So, the healing was there, her life was over there, but there are obstacles on the way. The obstacle of the 70, the obstacle of the 12, the obstacle of the 3, Peter, James, John. This woman has to sail through. But faith will always give you strength to achieve whatever you want to do. She was feeling weak, but her faith made her forget the weakness. He said, this is what I'm going to. He said, whenever there's a goal for you, the pain, you are able to endure. The Bible said because Jesus endured what? The hardship. Because of what he sees. He sees me, this bad boy, who will be a son of God. He saw many sons of God. That if I die, God is going to have billions of sons of God. Compared to the suffering and the cross and the beating, I'm ready to go through. If there is nothing that you see ahead, it's difficult, you give up and you faint on the way. Yes. Have you been to church and somebody looked at you and tried to elbow you? Some have stopped church because somebody in the church created, there are some people in the church, they have tongues. That is them. They create will come close, they hurt you, and you get hurt. Don't get hurt. You didn't come to save them. It's not because of them you came. You came because of God. They are not your object. They are not the one, the subject of your life. They are not the one you are looking for. So, yes, they may hurt you. Don't allow the hurt for you to lose your whatever you're going to get. Look, you will spend your time fighting an usher, and by the time you finish, your miracle is gone. Make Jesus your focus. But faith has a focus. She might have been falling and getting up. Brother, if you exercise faith and you are moving, things may be crossing you. The devil may be telling something. You may fall down. Don't lie down there. Get up again. Move on. You have few steps to get to the Savior. In fact, the closer you are to the miracle, the more intense the battle is. The closer you are to Jesus, that's where you meet Peter. James, who can ask Jesus to call fire? These people who are like fanatic for Christ. You are coming, a woman, not even a man. In those days, coming close. But I think God closed their eyes and they didn't see the lady. Yeah. Like Peter would take her and throw her away. But she managed to pass through, and her aim and eye was the helm. What she said, she said, I must get this thing done. I might meet opposition, I might meet struggle, but I might get it done. And she started, she will fall and get up. Somebody will step on her toes, she doesn't mind. Somebody will elbow her, she will fall down. He said, the ground is not my place. I want to touch Jesus Christ. My eye is on Christ. I want to touch his hand. So he tried and tried. She knew that she couldn't go just around Peter, James, John. So he had to put his hands in between them. And touch it. When she touched it, I'm done. This is what I wanted to do. I've got it. And she knew. She said, I know I am here. They said, immediately, her faith worked for her. Her faith worked. The blood stopped and dried from its source. The whichever disease that is causing it, stop, because faith against any disease will fall down. Amen. Faith against every situation, it will conquer it. Amen. It ceased. And nobody knew except the one who decided and the one who was touched. You see, the one who drew the current and the one who gave the current, they're the only two that will know what happened. The woman drew, and Jesus experienced that some power have left me. He saw that somebody managed to pull something. So today you can pull that power to yourself. And the moment Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, because they didn't understand. When you have a crowd, everybody pushing you, and you are telling us somebody touched you. Hey, what kind of man is this? Is this guy going out of his mind? Who touched me? When ordinary Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you. It means that people were around him and pushing him left and right, and they were hard to protect him. And you are telling us that somebody touched you. It's not that somebody didn't push me. Somebody touched me. Most people come to church to push, but not to touch. It's not enough to go to Jesus and be friend to Jesus and be pushing him and do something. No, it is those that will touch him through their faith. They are the ones that benefit. There were so many people around. Most of them might be sick. Some might have some diseases, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart problem, kidneys, bones, every kind of disease. They were following him. But they were pushing him. Don't come to church to throne Jesus, to push him. Come here and touch him with a touch of faith. If you touch Jesus with faith, you leave here excited. Anytime you listen to the word and faith is created, you can't go home the same. You might have a problem, but you'll feel that, look, God has the ability to do that. Something must happen. And Jesus says, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. When we come to church, do we withdraw power from God and move home with that power? Or we just come and swim around the power and go. Says, power has gone out of me. You can command and you can draw power. Anytime we come to church, you can draw power to meet your need. Her need was sickness. Sometimes your need might be you need wisdom to do something. That power of wisdom is in Christ. As you touch, you can withdraw that wisdom. And something just clicked in your mind. An answer just started to come. You begin to think and say, hey, look, this thing I'm seeing in a different way. That power will give you illumination and you see light concerning the situation. You want to make a decision. That power, as you come and you are listening to the word, you see something just happen. This should be the one. This is how I must go. This is the way I must go. Power must be drawn. When you come to church, don't just sit down and be a participant. Draw from God. Draw from Him. If you act in faith, God will recognize it. Jesus will recognize it. They see faith, only faith, no faces. Faith catches the attention of God and Jesus. Anytime somebody's acting in faith, it doesn't matter where the person is. God goes there to help. So if you want to invite God, you must invite Him in faith. That's why when you believe the word and you're in your heart and you believe Jesus come to live because faith has come into your heart, He then come to live in you. Anytime we exercise faith, we get the attention of Christ. And now the woman saw that she was not hidden. Something she did secretly. She just touched the hem of His garment, which Jesus wouldn't have known. But it is not the touch, but it is the power that came out. And the woman owned up. Look at what the woman said. I loved her. She came trembling and falling down before Him. She declared to Him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately.
Amen.
Immediately. Immediately. And look at what Jesus told her. And He said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Maybe she thought with the flowing of the blood, Jesus might have thought that He has contaminated him. Because in those periods, you don't touch a holy person. So she was afraid. She trembled. But it was not contamination. It was power that flew to Him. It's not her condemnation that went to Jesus, but Jesus' power and righteousness came and healed her. And Jesus said, no, you haven't sinned. You haven't sinned. That's why she trembled. That's why she was afraid to own up. And He said to her, daughter, be of what? Good cheer. So Jesus saw that the woman was worried. He thought he had done something wrong. He said, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. So what made her well? What made her well? What made her well? He didn't say, my garment made you well. He didn't even say, even I said, your faith has made you well. The power is available. Look, Jesus' power is still available. But we have moved as a church from faith to the mental realm. And because of that, we are not able to see what the early church saw. Nothing has changed. God has not changed. His power has not changed. But our faith has changed. If we shall rise up with that faith, we shall see. He said, greater works shall you do. We shall see greater things than ever. I pray that our faith will be activated. Amen. Based on all things are possible with that God. He said, woman, your faith has made you whole. If there's anything we need in this crucial time of this world, it's our faith. Be embedded very strong in God. And when it is that, I know you are safe. It is that kept Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. The fire could not burn them because Fire cannot burn faith. Faith has power over fire. Is that we trusted in God. We had faith in that God. And because of that, the God of fire, how can he be burned? So read the Bible. Create faith. Any area you have faith, you have strength in that. You can have faith in holiness and you can become very holy. You can have faith in healing. Any sickness that comes, you kick it away. You can have faith in financial prosperity and you believe that you have to make money for the kingdom. Anybody who operates in faith must think about the kingdom. If you are rich, you don't become rich to have 4 cars, 7 cars. 4 houses, 8 houses, 28 houses. Look, my experience is that I've seen this in little years is that no rich man have ever gone with his riches. But whatever you have can be converted into spiritual things by faith. He said, make treasure. The treasure you have here can be deposited in heaven by using it to help human beings. Anytime we use it to help somebody, you are converting what we have and depositing it in heaven. Are you getting me? Anytime you serve God on earth here, what is that? You are depositing everything in heaven. So our treasure should not be laid on earth here alone. Use the earthly treasure and deposit them by spiritualize them by giving it and helping other people so that you can have your reward in heaven. God bless you.